Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our sermon today comes from the gospel lesson, which is in Luke chapter 4. And I want to read just a few verses of this, just about two verses that tells us something that happened after Jesus' experience in the synagogue on that particular Sabbath day. We are reading from verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. This is the word of the Lord for us today. In these few verses from Luke chapter 4, we learn a great deal about the Apostle Peter. We learn that he had a home in Capernaum. This is a city along the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And that Peter also, besides having this home, lived with his mother-in-law. And obviously, if you have a mother-in-law, you must have a wife. And if you have a wife, you must have been married. Isn't it interesting that Peter, who is supposed to be the first pope, was married? And perhaps he also had some children. The Bible does not tell us, but it does tell us that he was married and that he had a mother-in-law. And after Jesus left the synagogue that day, he was invited to the home of Peter. They must have had kind of like a fellowship meal, which often takes place among Christian people after they worship. They gather together for a meal and some time together, fellowshipping with one another, enjoying the company of one another, perhaps discussing the sermon or other aspects of the worship that just took place before. That's what my family did all the time. After we would have worship at our church, and my wife, Marilyn, she'd make us a wonderful pot roast dinner or something else, fried chicken. It was always good. And we always had students or other people from the church who would come to our home and enjoy our company, and we would enjoy their company as well. So it was a great time of fellowship and a lot of fun and a lot of good food. So here Jesus is invited after this Sabbath day, after worship in the synagogue, to the home of Simon Peter. But there's something wrong. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick. But here in the text we see another wonderful miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see another healing. Jesus made her well. And we're going to see that wonderful response as to this new strength and healing came into the heart and life of this mother-in-law, that she was healed and she became ready to serve others. Well, the Bible is very clear about this lady's sickness. It tells us Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. That means she must have been really sick. You know, you can get around okay if you don't have a fever, or if you only have a mild fever, you can still function. Most people do. You have to go to work. You have to take care of the kids. You have to do this, you have to do that. And even if you're feeling blah, you still do it because you have to do it. It's just one of those things. Peter's mother-in-law had a high fever, and she was probably in bed, resting, unable to do hardly anything. And I imagine that was sheer agony for her, because I'm sure this lady was like many, many ladies in the past and in the present, when there's something to do, when there's work to be done in the kitchen, they need to be there. And especially if you have guests in your house, you want to make those people welcome. You want to take care of their needs. You want to provide a nice meal. But here she's suffering. She's sick and cannot do anything to help. Well, we know that there are various physical diseases that go around. Some of them are pretty scary, actually, like AIDS or ALS or other diseases, terrible diseases. And there are new ones coming out all the time, carried by germs or bacteria or microorganisms. And it's amazing what just a little tiny thing that you can only see under a microscope can lay you low and maybe even kill you. So we know that there are physical ailments, and they are serious, and they can lead unto death. But there's also spiritual sickness as well. And you and I, because we are by nature sinful and unclean, we're also subject to these spiritual illnesses. And sometimes they attack very, very hard because the devil is shoving them on us. He's trying to expose us to whatever might hurt us spiritually. The temptations that come to us so often, the temptations to pride, the temptations to self-righteousness, the temptation to sensual pleasure and anything else that might go on, these all come to us from the devil, who wants to make us spiritually sick and ultimately lead us to himself and to his hellish kingdom. We know that how these things operate. I have heard people say, even Christian people say, "I'll forgive someone for what they did to me, but I'll never forget." Well, that's an indication that this person has a serious spiritual sickness. Because while they're saying the words of saying that, "Yes, I'll forgive," but in their heart, they're hanging on to it. They leave, as it were, the hatchet handle. They might bury the hatchet, but they leave the handle out where they can grab it whenever they want to. That's not forgiveness, and that's a spiritual condition that can lead to spiritual death. Other people, even Christians, are addicted to drugs, to nicotine, to other things that would hurt them in their body, alcoholism. These are spiritual sicknesses that are terribly, bring terrible results and consequences. And today, with the internet and everything else on the internet, there's all kind of pornographic stuff that comes. And there are lots of even Christian people who are hooked on these computer sites. Even I, as a pastor, get a little, once in a while, most of my email comes by because it's something connected with the Bible. But here's an email that comes and says, "If you want to have a good time, check me out." And they give me their website. Well, I'm needless to say, I'm not interested. And I erase that. I delete that the minute I get it. Again, but there are those who would be induced to use such a site and gain pleasure from it, even Christians. And this is a spiritual sickness. For any spiritual sickness you and I might have, we need to lament and come to the Lord with that sin and ask the Lord for that forgiveness that only can come from him. It's only as we live in that forgiveness of sins that we can become healthy and strong again. This is what Jesus did for this woman, this mother-in-law of Peter. They, We imagine that Peter's wife and Peter himself and maybe whoever else was there, they came to Jesus and asked him to help this mother-in-law. And did you notice how he did it? Did you notice that he did not lay hands on her? Did you notice that he didn't make a long, big, boisterous prayer to God? Oh, God, make her well again. But rather, he bent over her. He rebuked the fever with his word. And the Bible tells us it left her. She who was sick is now healthy again. She who was so weak she couldn't do anything is now strong enough to serve. It's an amazing thing. He rebuked the fever and it left her with a word. And you notice in this whole gospel lesson for today, it is by the power of his word he says something. He rebukes the devil. He rebukes the demon and the demon-possessed man. Whatever he says and does, that's power. The power is in the word. And the word is able to deliver. And God's word in Jesus Christ delivered this woman from the fever. And so also, he delivers us. He delivers us by that word of proclamation of forgiveness of sins. We have already confessed our sins to God, acknowledging that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that there is nothing good inside of any of us because we are corrupt, filled with leprosy from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. And as we come to God with that confession, I by nature am sinful and I cannot save myself. As we confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, he pronounces that absolution on us. He says, you are forgiven. I have died to take away your sins. I wash you in my precious blood. You are cleansed. You are renewed. You are restored. All your sins are taken away, even those sins that keep coming back at you over and over and over again. They're all forgiven because of my power and because of my love for you. For it is Jesus who took upon our sins, all our sins upon himself, and he suffered and he died on the cross for all of our sins. When he was nailed to the cross, he wasn't dying for anything that he himself had done, but it was for us and for our salvation that Jesus Christ died to take away our sins. And so by his blood and by his word, you and I are healed. We're washed clean. We're renewed in his holy blood and righteousness. And we are freed from the temptations that come upon us all the time. Will you turn to your bulletin once again? And will you look at that collect for the day? And would you pray this with me one more time? Because as I saw that collect for the day, I thought, how perfect this is for the sermon today. Because here we're asking the Lord to strengthen us and to help us so that we are delivered from every sin and every temptation. Say it with me then again. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. What a wonderful prayer. Give strength and protection to support us in all dangers and through all temptations. That's what Jesus did for that lady. He healed her. He restored her to good health and strength. And did you notice what happened next? It's amazing. The fever left her, and she got up at once and began to wait on them. Right away, new strength came into her body, and this enabled her to do what she wanted to do all along, to serve the people that had gathered in her house. I think it's an amazing thing. She didn't just say, well, I just got over a cold, or I'm better now, but you better do the rest of the work. She's like a lot of our Lutheran Women's Missionary League ladies, ready to go to work, ready to help whenever there might be any need, ready to serve because she's got the strength now to serve. And where do we get the strength to serve? It's always from Jesus. We get his strength filling us, and then we feel renewed and refreshed, and we're able to reach out and do even things that we never imagined we could do. It's an amazing thing. I've seen Christian people in their 70s, in their 80s, yes, in their 90s, still going strong, serving the Lord with joy and gladness. They never run down. They're like the Energizer Bunny. They got the Lord's strength filling them. They don't have the strength in themselves, but it's the Lord's strength. And they just keep on serving, and serving with joy, serve the Lord with gladness. It all comes from Jesus. And it's all because of what he has done for us. He's forgiven us all our sins. He's healed us, not only physically, but spiritually. And his Holy Spirit lives in us and works in us and through us in ministry to others. But stay close to the source of your strength, my friends. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to the Word. Stay close to the sacrament of the altar. Gain that strength that comes from that Word and that can encourage you and inspire you in everything that you do. I've even seen pastors who have been burned out. And I'm always amazed at this. How is it possible that a pastor can be burned out? There's only one way that a pastor can be burned out, that he's lost the source of his strength. He has no more fuel. Why not? Because maybe he's preaching to others, but he hasn't preached to himself. Maybe he's using the Word of God for the benefit of others, but he hasn't been using the Word of God for his own benefit. And that's an important element here. We must not just think in terms of ministering to others, but we must minister to ourselves by the powerful Word of God and apply whatever we take in from the Scriptures, apply it to ourselves and to our own particular needs. One of the things that I've tried to live by as I've preached all these years, and it's over 52 years, preach first that sermon to yourself. And that's so important, because if I haven't preached it to myself first, it's not going to be worth much to anybody else. But when I preach it to myself, then I'm ready to preach it to others. And I have seen wonderful results because of the power of the Spirit at work. And all of these 52 years, I have to say with joy and gladness, I've never been burned out. And I never don't intend to be burned out now, because I'm letting the Word of God dwell within me richly. And you let the Word of God dwell within you richly as well. And claim the power of Jesus. Claim the power of the Holy Spirit. Let his healing, forgiving strength come upon you. Because just like Simon's mother-in-law, you and I have been healed. And by his Spirit, we too are ready to serve, ready to help wherever that help is needed. God bless you today by the power of his love and his going Spirit, his working Spirit in your heart. God bless you and keep you strong. Yes, and keep you healthy, not only physically, but spiritually. Yes, healthy in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.